Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you're with us today. And today we're going to be continuing in our study of the book of Acts. We're just starting. We're just in chapter one. How frustrating is it when somebody, you want to know something and somebody won't tell you? How frustrating is it when there's more to the story and they keep it to themselves? How frustrating is it when they say things to you like, just trust me? You don't want to just trust them. You want to know the facts so you can decide whether you want to move forward with something or not. Hey, that's what we're going to talk about today in our relationship to Almighty God. So, let's pray, and we're going to begin. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity for us to study your word. Father, I pray that you would really speak to us deeply today from your word. May it really interact with the deepest parts of our heart, and may your truth encourage us today in your character and in our walk with you, and may it bring fortitude and stamina and long-suffering to our walk with Christ until we see you face to face. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, what amen and what amen. Okay. Now, are you ready? We're going to dig in to Acts chapter 1. So here we go, New King James version of the Bible. And last week, we read all the way from verse 1 down through verse 11, where the angel sitting there on the top of the Mount of Olives says to the disciples, don't worry, the exact way you saw the Lord leave is the way you will see him return. Remember that? And we said what that means is we will see him bodily return. We will see him visibly return. We will see him literally return. We will see him supernaturally return. But this time, he won't be coming as a baby in a manger. He'll be coming as the mighty, conquering Son of God who's going to split the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14, wide open when his feet touch it. And he's going to measure out justice to everyone on this earth because he's seen everything they've done. Remember, that was last week's message. So you don't have to go down and mud wrestle with people who've done you wrong. Just be a tunnel. Just let it go on through to the Lord. And he says, vengeance is mine. I, Romans chapter 12, will repay. Not might, will. He'll do a better job than you anyway, so let him. Now, as part of those verses, there was something else Jesus said that I didn't stop and dwell on, but I want to go back to it. So, here we are, Acts chapter 1, Jesus is up on the Mount of Olives with his 11 disciples. And here's what happens. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, verse 7, look at this. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. And then he went on to say, but you'll receive the Holy Spirit indwelling, and you'll be my witnesses, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay. Now, what I want us to focus on is what Jesus says in verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has reserved under his own authority. My words, but that's in essence what he's saying. Okay, well, they ask, hey, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom? And what does Jesus say to them? In a nice way, in a kind, sweet way, he says, fellas, it's none of your business. Or as we used to say as children, it's none of your bizwax. Yeah. This has been reserved by God the Father under his own authority. And frankly, it's none of your business. So you need to get on with doing what I've charged you to do, sharing the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's your job. And to do your job, you do not need to know exactly when I'm coming back to set up the kingdom. If you needed to know that date or those arrangements in order to do your job of preaching the gospel, God would tell you. But you don't need to know. None of your bizwax. And God, it does not intend to tell you. Why? I don't know. Maybe God knows our human nature, that if we knew the exact day and time, it would affect us doing our job. Maybe we would get lazy towards the end. Or conversely, maybe towards the end, we would panic and try to share the gospel in every way we can. But while there's still 100 years left before it comes, we would be very relaxed and lazy about doing it. I don't know. But whatever the reason, Jesus says, I'm sorry. You don't need to know. This is on a need-to-know basis, to quote Washington people. This is on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. Now, I've been told that a lot of times. I'm pretty nosy, and I like to be in control. I don't like to go into situations where I don't know what's going on, and I'm just asked to trust people. No. My good friend Monty Kalmovich, he led my tours and owned the tour company that I still work with. His son, Ezer Kalmovich, is now the owner, but because Monty passed away. But Monty and I were good buddies. I mean, we were like two peas out the same pod. He was from Europe. He grew up in Poland during the Second World War. A miracle saved him from the Nazis. I don't have time to tell you about it. He then emigrated to Israel, and he had all these little sayings, all these little aphorisms that I loved him for, and I've adopted them all. He says, he would always say, every little helps a little. You know, I'd say, well, that's just, he goes on, every little helps a little. Well, that's true. He would say, he wouldn't say 100%, he'd say 110%. Yeah, he would. And he would often say to me when I did something dumb, you know, he'd go, what's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? You don't tell people this, that, or the other thing. What's wrong with you? By the way, he also told me no good deed goes unpunished. he had a million of these things. But one of the things he used to always say, you don't need to know what you don't need to know. And he's right. He used to always say, keep the main thing, Lon. You're right. And this is above your pay grade. And you're right. He would be right. Folks, there are some things God says, I'm sorry, they're just above your pay grade. I'm sorry, but don't get distracted. Keep the main thing. I'm sorry, you don't need to know what you don't need to know. Yes. And God says this often in the Bible. Again, I don't know exactly why, in every case, he says, you don't need to know, but he often says it. Before Moses went back to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, when God appeared to him at the burning bush, and God said to him, I want you to go do this, and Moses said, how can I? God said, don't worry about it. I will be with you. Did he tell him all about the 10 plagues? No. Did he tell him all about opening the Red Sea? No. Did he tell him all about Pharaoh's chariots being drowned in the Red Sea? No. Did he tell him about the Amalekites attacking him on the other side of the Red Sea? No. Did he tell him about the 10 commandments? No. And the golden calf? No. Folks, he just said, Moses, trust me. Monty used to also say, when somebody says to me, don't worry, he said, that's when I start to worry. He said, when they tell me, hey, don't worry, he said, that's when I start to worry. But you know, when God tells you don't worry, you don't have to worry. When God tells you, trust me, you trust him. He is trustworthy and has proven that over and over and over again. When he told Joshua, lead the people into the land, he didn't explain all the details. He just said, trust me. When Naomi and Ruth headed back to Bethlehem, he didn't tell them all the details. He didn't tell them about Boaz. He just said, trust me. When Esther went in to see the king, God didn't tell her what was going to happen. He said, just trust me. And on and on and on. Just trust me. And with a being like God saying that, we can do it. Now, that's the end of our passage. But I want to take a few minutes now and talk about, so what difference does that make for you and me? Well, how great is it that God says, you don't know about, you don't need to know about everything. I got everything worked out. You don't have to worry about it. How great is it, my friend, to have some things in the world you don't need to worry about? Most of you already drive yourself nuts worrying about stuff that you shouldn't worry about, and now you want more to worry about? God's freeing us. Don't you understand? This is not a curse. It's a blessing. He's freeing us from worrying about stuff we don't need to worry about. Hey, how sweet it is that God does that for us. How sweet it is that he lifts all that burden off our shoulders. But because we're human beings, we don't like that. We want to know everything about everything. We feel uncomfortable when we don't know everything about everything. We feel uncomfortable when we have to walk out on the limb, let go of the trunk, and walk out on the limb with just the hand and the power of God holding us up, and the omnipotence of God and the omniscience of God holding us up, knowing that he knows everything. Yeah, we as human beings, we feel very uncomfortable doing that. But you know, you don't find the fruit growing on the trunk. The fruit grows out on the limbs. And to get the fruit, we got to walk out on the limb, trusting God, and not walk out on the limb knowing every detail of what's going to happen. You're not going to get that. God's not going to do that for you. Say, why? Well, number one, to save you from having to worry about all those details. And number two, because God demands we walk by faith. And if you know all the details, it's not faith. God's going to insist that you trust him. I don't care how old you get. God's never going to let you get so old that you don't need to trust him for something. That's the way it works. So get over it. It's not going to happen. Now, I've just got to tell you, I hate it when I don't know everything about everything. I hate it when I got to walk out on the limb, trusting nothing but the invisible power of God. In my flesh, I hate doing that. You say, well, how many years you walked with God, Lon? I've walked with God this spring, this coming spring. It'll be 55 years. Oh, praise God. 1971. March of 1971, I gave my life to Christ in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Right on Franklin Street. Right in front of the old post office. Right there is where I met Bob Eckhart. And then I went on a couple weeks later to give my life to Christ. So, 55 years of walking with God, 55 years of watching him be faithful, 55 years of watching him never let me down, 55 years of watching him do things for me that are so magnanimous, things I never even actually asked him for. I just dreamed about him in my head, and he's so kind and so good that he gave me things that I never even asked for. And you say, yeah. And you know what? 55 years later, I'm still uncomfortable walking out on the limb with only the power of God to sustain me. Because why? I'm human. And 55 years later, I'm still human. And as humans, we don't like that. As humans, that scares us. As humans, that makes us nervous. As humans, we repel from doing that. And most of us won't do it unless we're forced to do it. Unless God pushes us out there with his hand. You know? And we go fighting, and he pushes, and we're fighting. Yeah, you know, whatever it may be, your health, your finances, your business, your job, your school, whatever. You know, God pushes us out there, and virtually all of us that I know of, we resist it. What's the solution? The solution, my friends, is clear. The solution is pay attention to the Bible. The solution is listen to what God tells us in the Bible. Remember what we said more than anything else God says in the Bible. He says, do not fear, for I am or I will be with you. That's what he told Moses at the burning bush. Do not fear. I will be with you. Joshua, do not fear. I will be with you. And it's what he tells you and me. Do not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Now, right now, I'm sure you're facing some things in your life where God is pushing you out on the limb. And I'm sure that in many cases, we are fighting this with everything we got inside of us, resisting, hoping that he'll give us more information so there's not so much unknown about going out on the limb. Folks, it's not going to happen. There are some things that are just not your business. There are some things that God is not going to tell you. There are some things that are not your bizwax. He's going to demand, if you're going to get the fruit, you're going to have to trust him. Now, you don't want the fruit? Well, I guess that's your decision to make. If you want to make it, hang on to the trunk. Hold on to the trunk. But the fruit, the blessing, the richness of God's goodness is not available by hanging on to the trunk. Never has been, never will be. Moses had hung on to the trunk and refused to go. If Abraham had refused to leave his homeland, if Joshua had refused to go and lead the children of Israel into the promised land, if Ruth had refused to leave Moab and go with her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem, if Esther had refused to go in and see the king, if Gideon had refused to whittle his troops down to just 300 soldiers, on and on and on. Follow it through the Bible. If they had refused to go out on the limb like the Lord was calling them to do, the blessings that came their way would never have happened. And the same is true for you and me. As much as we don't want to go out, as much as we want to hug the trunk, the fruit's on the limbs. So if God's pushing you out there, it's okay. God has never let any person down, ever. And he never will. Even though we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself, is what Paul tells Timothy. He cannot deny who he is. He's the faithful, trustworthy God of the universe who cannot lie and who has promised to take care of us as his adopted children in Christ. And he can't not take care of us. It would be out of his nature and he would cease to be God. So, friends, I know it's scary. I've got some things where God right now is forcing me to trust him. And I'm not any happier about it in the flesh than you are. But rise above that. Ask the Holy Spirit, which is what I'm doing, to help you rise above that and trust God, even though people will tell you it's crazy, even though everything inside of you will say this is illogical. Friends, God deals in the illogical. That's what a miracle is. He deals in doing things that are illogical for people. Or there would have been no Exodus. Or there would have been no promised land for the Israelites. Or there would have been no Boaz for Ruth. Illogical? Yeah. Did God do it? Yeah. If he did it for them, will he do it for you? Yeah. Trust him. He is worthy of our trust. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the mighty God of the universe and that when you ask us to trust you, when you push us out on that limb, that, Lord, you are utterly trustworthy and faithful, and you will never let us down. Lord Jesus, assure us of that by the power of your Spirit today. And for the many of us, including me, who are struggling and inching our way out onto that limb, little by little, scared as we go, nervous as we go, Lord, remind us that it is not for us to know all the details. It's for us to simply trust you, and you will take care of the details. God, encourage our hearts and make us people who walk by faith as a result of your word today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless you. We love you. Thanks again for being with us. Bye now. And may God bless you.